Hello and welcome. You've tuned in to the School of Ministry podcast. Paul is your Bible teacher today. If you have questions you would like addressed, let us know. Maybe you have a need in your life and want to know how the Bible gives answers that apply to us today. Feel free to contact us. Now enjoy the lesson.
A couple of weeks ago, last time I was with you, we went through Psalm 22. And if you remember Psalm 22, that was speaking about the suffering Messiah, the suffering Christ, written 2,000 years before Jesus went to the cross, and King David, inspired of God, wrote exactly what happened. So we looked at it in two parts. We saw the first part was the prayer of Christ. The second part was the praise, because something happens in the last part of Psalm 22 where you begin to see a great difference. And it was because, and I believe, because David foresaw something of the resurrection. He saw the hope that we have in Christ. Now, it's interesting because Ezra, that priest of old, he put these psalms, and he believed that Psalm 22, 23, 24 were one unit, that they all went together. And so in that we see, and that's why I thought I would like to share with you Psalm 22, 23, and 24, because I think that it will tell you a story. I believe that it tells us a wonderful, marvelous, blessed story of the gracious sacrifice of our Savior. And you're familiar, I'm sure, with Psalm 23. It's probably the most famous and familiar psalm. Let's just read it. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So David began showing us this shepherd, this great shepherd of the sheep. The writer of Hebrews says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." And again, Hebrews says, "He brought him forth from the dead and made him the great shepherd of the sheep." So now in Psalm 22, we had the glorious sacrifice, where Christ cries out, "Why have you forsaken me? Oh my God, why have you forsaken me?" And now we have, "The Lord is my shepherd." So in Psalm 23, the good shepherd, "The Lord is my shepherd." Why? Because he's alive. He's alive. In Psalm 22, we have the sacrificial work of Christ. In Psalm 23, we have the priestly work. He's alive. I shall not want. Why? Because he intercedes. He bears my needs. He bears and carries all of my cares. So the sacrificial work in Christ, because he cares for us, he supplies our need. And we use the image of a shepherd and a gracious host. David reflected on many of the benefits that the Lord had given him. While David is going through various dangers in his own life, he concludes that God's persistent, loving protection is going to restore him into full communion. We see in verses 1 through 4 of Psalm 23, the Lord is our leader. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want us to pay attention also to the pronouns here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. It moves. And isn't it wonderful? I love singing the old hymns, and I tell you why. Because they always lift up Christ. The old hymns always lift up the Lord. Some of the new songs that I hear some of the younger ones singing talk about me and what God does for me. But that's not what David is talking about here. The Lord is my shepherd. Yes, that's something personal. I shall not want. Why? Because he does something. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The psalmist employed that figure of a shepherd to be reminded of the blessings that he enjoyed from the Lord. It's a metaphor. It's a natural metaphor here for David, of course, who is the shepherd king. And by the way, that was a common metaphor for those in the ancient Near East. Many of the kings had compared themselves to shepherds in their leadership capacity. So the prophecy of the coming Messiah also uses that same metaphor. Isn't Christ our great good shepherd? The prophecy of Messiah is incorporated, and Jesus identifies himself as that expected good shepherd. Isaiah talks about that. Jesus said that in John chapter 10. He is also called the great shepherd in Hebrews. He is called the chief shepherd by Peter. And because the Lord was David's shepherd, his needs were met. Is he your shepherd? He talks about the supply in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. So the first blessing that David experienced was that spiritual nourishment, as a shepherd would lead his sheep to fresh grass for feeding. Now, we lived in New Zealand for years. It was amazing because they said there was something like 50 sheep to every person in the land. And oftentimes you would be driving from one city to another and they'd be moving flocks of sheep. And you had to wait. The sheep had the right of way. So you couldn't just go through them. You let them go by. And we had a member of the church there, the mission when we started, that had a great sheep ranch. And so it was really nice because I used to be able to go horseback riding up in the hills, and just how peaceful and how wonderful. But that shepherd was so careful to make sure that his sheep were always moved to a place where they had fresh grass, where the grass was green, where it was growing. A good shepherd is going to make us lie down and provide those things which we have need. So that's the first blessing that David recognized, that a shepherd leads his sheep to fresh grass for feeding. And the Lord leads us, his people. One who follows the Lord isn't going to lack for spiritual nourishment. When we're following hard after the Lord, when our heart seeks after the Lord as that deer pants for the water, we're going to find he meets the needs that we have spiritually. And so is the under-shepherds. The Lord has explained that we are expected to feed the flock of God. It's food for the soul. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is that which is going to feed us and build us and strengthen us and help us in all of those ways. Here he's talking about the spiritual renewal. He's talking about being renewed spiritually because he leads us beside the still waters. Do you see the picture of that great shepherd? And as under shepherds, as you call a pastor, that's someone that you're going to want. You're going to want someone who is going to feed you with God's word, who is going to rightfully divide God's word and bring it to you so that there's spiritual nourishment. So you're growing. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the second blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is that spiritual renewal. And as a shepherd leads those sheep to that calm, placid waters so that they can rest for cleansing, the Lord refreshes our souls. Have you ever been to a place where you just needed to be refreshed in your soul? You just needed to find that place where there was you just knew the peace of God working in your life and in your heart. I hope that you've known that. I hope that you've seen that, because the Lord restores, he refreshes our soul. So the spiritual lesson is clear. The Lord provides the forgiveness. He provides the peace as we follow him, as we're following after him. For he leads me. You see, we need to be following. as He's leading, as He's the one taking us. He's leading us into paths of righteousness. He is always going to lead you the right way. He's not going to lead you into something that's going to be questionable. Now, it may be difficult, but He's not going to lead you the wrong way. He's not going to lead you astray. Why? Because it's for His name's sake. How many times have we been maybe such a difficult place? Like He says in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Maybe the Lord has led you through such difficult times where you have just felt, though I'm in the very valley of the shadow of death. But it's through those valleys that we grow. It's through those valleys, those times when He's comforted us, that we recognize that we're not going to find the help that we want from some other person. It's not going to be another man or woman or family. It's no one else that can meet the need that only God can meet. It's going to be only Him. He's the only one that can meet that need when we're walking through those difficult times. And then we come out of it. It's in those difficult days that we're drawn closer. It's in those difficult times that we're made right. I can't tell you, I wish that every one of you had 18 years in prison, in a prison cell. It's those times when you're saying, no, 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 no. But it's those days, nobody else around, that make you cry out. And let me tell you, the Lord is there. The Lord is right there. When no one else can help you, when no one else is there, He is there, walking you through the valley of the shadow of death. I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, the old King James says. I love that. Because the fourth blessing from the Lord's leading is His protection. When we find ourselves in that deep darkness, the shadow of death, he need not fear. The Lord's with him, those that are His. He will lead you. He will protect you. His rod and His staff, that's what the shepherd's equipment is. It protects the sheep. He watches over them. He cares for them. And David was comforted by the Lord's presence and His protection. Let me tell you, the Lord's presence and protection is upon your life. And sometimes we don't see it. When you're walking through dangerous times, when you're walking through those times and you don't know who has my back, who's protecting me, who's watching over me, I can tell you it was the Lord that walked over. But I want to tell you that I have seen His protection, His watching, some His care when I didn't know what to do. And I bet you have some stories, some testimonies of when you were going through such difficult times. And then you recognize later, it was the Lord who had gone before you. It was the Lord who had taken care of you. It was the Lord who had blessed you, who had watched over you. David was comforted by the Lord's presence and the Lord's protection. And let me tell you, it is the same Lord that is your shepherd, that is your Savior today. Believers are never in situations where the Lord is not aware. He always knows right where you are. He doesn't forget if you're sitting in a prison cell. He doesn't forget you. The rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They watch over. The Lord was watching over you. He's taking care of you. He's blessing you when you're going through those difficult times. And even now, maybe you're in a blessed time where you're resting. You're being encouraged. You're being strengthened. You know, that's what he says here in verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. There are going to be those difficult days, and there are going to be those times when it seems like the Lord is a bountiful host. He talks about the security. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This shepherd that has cared for us. And you know, shepherds of old would put a sheepfold at night. They would put either brambles or rocks or something And as the sheep would come in, the good shepherd would look to see, was there any damage to this sheep? Was there anything that needed to be done? And sometimes they would put oil on them if they had insect bites, cuts. And so the shepherd would every day check all of the sheep and meet their needs. Let me tell you that our shepherd meets our needs every day. He watches. He keeps us in the fold. He keeps us protected. Even though in the presence of his enemies, the shepherd would care for each sheep, inspecting them, caring for them, bringing them in safely each night. That's what our Savior does. And now God is the host, and he has spread a banquet for his guest. He anoints his head with that festive oil as well. He keeps his cup filled to the brim. The reference here to enemies may mean that either they are held at a difference, or they can't interfere with a guest's security, or they can't interfere in that sheepfold. It might mean that as David had celebrated even some great victory, that the prisoners now had to look on even with regret while David and his men celebrated. That could be exactly what he meant when he was writing. We just don't know. But again, we have to be careful that we don't isolate this verse and this psalm and make it the norm for life. What do I mean? It's no accident that psalm begins in the green pastures and ends in the house of the God, and in the middle is that dark valley, the shadow of death. The point of verse 5 is that life isn't just a big party. It's not always going to be easy. There are going to be festive times in our life, and we have to recognize them as gifts of God, wonderful times, the signs of his ultimate intention for us, that he wants to do the best for us. But he says that he is a high priest. He's the good shepherd who cares for his sheep, and he supplies our need, and he gives that spiritual renewal. He gives us the security and the solace. And ultimately, verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. How long? How long is he going to be doing his priestly work? Forever, all the days of my life. He'll never leave you. From the time you're little to the time that we're older. The Lord is our provider. That's what it said in that banquet hall where he is provided. And even though there might be impending danger, the Lord spread out the table for David, and he spreads it out for us. This is the same God. David realized that the Lord's good, loyal love, the word is chesed, and it would mean that he would go everywhere through all of life with him, that's how God loved him. That's how he loves you. He goes through everywhere that you go. God's blessing is going to be upon you no matter the circumstances. He's still watching out for you. He's still caring for you. So he concluded, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord might have meant here the temple, or at that time would have been the tabernacle, that sanctuary. But let me tell you that if you know Christ, if you know Christ as Lord and Savior, he's alive in your life. You have become the temple of God. You have been there. And so I'll just say that the rest of my life, the length of our days, you can have full communion with God. It's not that all days are going to be great. I will dwell conveys the idea of returning as well. Sometimes we've walked away. Sometimes we've forgotten. This is a good time for us to be reminded. It's a time of thanksgiving. And I hope that you've all had a wonderful holiday, a wonderful Thanksgiving. But now it's a reminder that we come back into close fellowship with the Lord. I'm going to enjoy full communion with the Lord. I will dwell. It's the same word that's translated, he restores my soul in verse 3. Maybe the psalmist was saying in some way that he had felt separated from the people of God or the sanctuary, the full enjoyment of all of the spiritual blessings. And he's remembering, he's being reminded of the Lord's leading and his provisions that have prompted him to talk about and be reminded of fellowship with God's people, fellowship with the Lord. And then in verse 6, David concludes that after he's passed, as it were, from here, through the green pastures, through the dark valley, through the banquet hall of God, he concludes there's every reason to believe that God's goodness and his mercy are going to follow him all the days of his life. What a beautiful picture. It's a little obscured in verse 6 by the English word follow, because we think of follow as maybe trailing along, never quite being able to catch up. But the word, it's more of surely goodness and mercy are right at the very doorstep. It's not that they're lagging behind. It's not that they're some way off and never quite able to catch up. It means that it's right at the doorstep. It's right there for you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's great love for the Lord himself. Not what the Lord can give, but for who he is. David considered it the height to dwell in the house of the Lord. He thought that that would have been the greatest thing that could ever be. So what a difference has the Lord as the shepherd made in your life? What difference should he make? It occurred to me that all the paths of righteousness are paths of love. The New Testament teaches us, let everything be done in love and in order, Paul says. But love means seeking the benefits of our brothers or a neighbor. What I found that it's possible to speak of love toward men in such a way that God drops out of the picture. But the Lord is my shepherd. It's possible to begin to try to justify your life on just how much good people do and how much good you've done. And gradually, we move from what we understand in Christianity to humanism. We have to stay close to the Lord. Not because a humanist, that they can become God-centered, of course, but because as a Christian, it's easy to become man-centered. That's why David says, keeps coming back to who the Lord is, what he has done, what God has done, how he has taken care of. So the path of righteousness is through the grace of God. And it's the starting point that he has led. That is to the very glory of God. That's the destination that God will be glorified because he's leading us for his name's sake. He is leading us for his honor and glory. Paul put it in Romans chapter 11, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. So we don't want just sentimental morality where man is the measure of all things. We want the result of my life to be because I have fellowship and I'm walking with the Lord. And second, the sense of the reality of the power of God in everyday life grows, I think, by the proportion of my conviction that he is at work in everything that I do. The more that I recognize that God is at work in my life, just as you recognize that he is at work in your life, that you made it here safely today. Nothing out of the ordinary, that he is watching over you. He's taking care of you, that you've been filled, that you have the things, the basic things that you need. You see, in direct proportion to my conviction that he's at work in everything that I do, it's to his name's sake. It's to his honor and glory. Also, third, there is a great sense of confidence that arises from the conviction that it is God's honor that is at stake in the way that he is leading in my life. It's to his honor. My prayers for my own growth, my own being set apart, are more fervent, the more that I recognize that He is effectual, He is working. And now I have a tremendous argument which comes to God, where I cry out and I say, Lord, I love You and I'm close to You, but I want to be closer. Make me holy, O Lord, for Your name's sake. I want to walk closer to You. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil for Your name's sake. Those are some of the things that have shaped me as I've thought about Christ as the Good Shepherd. God is the Good Shepherd. So the Lamb of Psalm 22 became the Shepherd of Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 closes with that eternal kingdom. I'll dwell in His house forever. We've gone from seeing Him in the sacrificial aspect of Him being that great sacrifice upon the cross to His intercessory work, but that's not all. Because we're going to get over into Psalm 24 and see Him as the glorious King. And see Him as that King. And Lord willing, we examine Psalm 24 where there's that coronation day. So I hope that you've seen how this was meant and inspired by God to be given to us in just this way. So that we recognize who Christ is. That He died for you, that He died for me, so that we could have everlasting life, so that we would know Him and that free pardon from sin.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the message. We trust you have been encouraged, challenged, or generally built up spiritually. If this lesson has sparked questions or perhaps you have questions of a different topic, let us know. Our information is given on the website, or can reach us at sclofministry@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.